Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you doing? Doing well? Have you recovered from banned books week yet? Has your soul been removed of the tarnish that you accumulated by reading, I don't know, Raisin in the Sun? Yeah? Good, good for you. I'm glad to hear that. I hope things are going well. It's autumn, it's October, things are cooling down, and you know, this is the only time of the year that I really do get homesick. You know, we have autumn here, of course, but it's not quite the same. You don't get those brittle, cold autumn days with the frost on the leaves and everything's crunchy. Sometimes I just want to go back to New England, get some freshly squeezed apple cider, some apple pie, pumpkin pie, all that good stuff from autumn. It's really, really nice. But alas, these are the choices we make in the lives we lead, so I'll have to do with the less impressive foliage of Japan. Nobody believes me when I tell them that, by the way. Japan people are very, very impressed with their autumn leaves. They're really very proud. And I tell them that New England has them beat, hands down, and no one ever believes me. So, oh well. Yeah, it's hard to live with the truth, however painful it is. So let's see. What are we talking about this week? Last week I gave you the clue that we would be talking about memoirs, specifically fictional memoirs, memoirs of the future, even, as if you could do that. And I got a correct guess from Millie in Albany, who guessed that it was Memories of the Future, Volume 1, by Will Wheaton, or Will Wheaton, as he is alternately known, or the Slayer of Mimos. Memories of the Future, the Future, the Future, the Future, Volume 1. In my opinion, there is something inherently sad about child actors. They're called upon to do what older actors have been doing for their whole lives, right? Often acting alongside people who know their craft so much better than they do. To match the level of their adult counterparts, they have to work just that much harder, and they still usually get pigeonholed into fairly flat characters. I mean, for a lot of directors, even a poor child actor is good enough to fill out the character that's been created for him or her, so expectations are usually pretty low. In the end, I think that's probably why a lot of child actors either burn out or give up. And Will Wheaton was not a bad actor as a kid. I mean, anybody who watched Stand By Me can agree on that. He certainly wasn't what he could have become, but as child actors went, he did okay. Perhaps if he'd been given the right roles with the right people, he would still be acting today and impressing us with the depth of his talent. As it was, he was on Star Trek The Next Generation, which sent him down, let us say, a different path. Wheaton's experience on Next Generation was one that a lot of the fans, and I count myself among them, of course, seriously underappreciate. From the age of 14, he was given the unenviable role of playing one of the most despised characters in modern science fiction, at least before Jar Jar showed up. In the early heyday of the internet, before live blogging and Twitter and Facebook, there was this thing called Usenet, which was like an early internet discussion group. And one of these early groups was the infamous alt.wesley.crusher.die. The fans there would speak of the Wesley Crusher problem and write horrible fan fiction that would put Ensign Crusher through some of the most depraved torments they could think of. Yeah, a small but very, very vocal segment of Next Generation fan base actively hated Wesley, and so by extension, Will Wheaton. I think he could have been easily forgiven for just dropping out of the public eye forever after being treated like that. Fortunately for us, he has chosen otherwise. With the growth of the internet, Wheaton has really found his place. He's a tech evangelist and one of the most active bloggers out there, discussing technology, games, family, politics, and, you know, whatever else he feels like talking about. He's carved out a space for himself that does not rest on his Star Trek credentials, and even if he had never been on the show, he would still be a fine and upstanding member of the online community. Surprisingly enough, though, he does not reject his days as Wesley Crusher, but rather he embraces them. As terrible as it could sometimes be to be, you know, the kid, overlooked by writers and directors, hated by the fans, he still got to do what most 14-year-old boys, including this one, can only dream of doing. Playing a space explorer on TV. He got to work with a group of fine men and women and help to create a show that would truly be beloved around the world. On balance, I think the good vastly outweighed the bad, and Wheaton was able to fold that experience into his life, making him a better person for it. So Memories of the Future is Wheaton's tribute to his days on Star Trek. As he describes it, the book is not a salacious tell-all, revealing all of Trek's dirty little secrets. It's more like, as he puts it, you're flipping through your high school yearbook with your friends. It's an honest look at the first half of the first season, described only as someone who truly loves it can do, with snark, sarcasm, and admiration for the work, but with no illusions about when it was, shall we say, less than up to snuff. It starts, of course, with Encounter at Farpoint and goes up to Datalore, which covers the first 12 episodes of Season 1. The summaries of the remaining episodes are forthcoming in Volume 2, eventually. Each episode is summarized in a hilarious and sarcastic fashion. True to his geek roots, he manages to work in references to all the sacred touchstones, Monty Python, collectible card gaming, Dungeons & Dragons, and of course the other star franchise which we shall not name here. He isn't afraid to call out the writers when they make stupid choices, such as Dr. Crusher asking to bring Wesley onto the bridge during a major diplomatic security crisis in Code of Honor, or having him casually solve a major plot point that all the experts in the room have been breaking their brains over, and then leave with a snide, adults. And that was in The Battle. There's quotable dialogue included for each episode, such as, "Oh, your species is always suffering and dying," which comes from Q, my favorite character. And the obligatory technobabble, of course. Now let me see if I can get through this in one take. He says, "Come off the main lead, split off at the force activator, and then reversing the power leads through the force activator, the repulsor beam powers against the Tsiolkovsky." That was Wesley from The Naked Now. There's also a behind-the-scenes memory giving us a good look at what it was like for Wheaton to work on the show, often showcasing how little he knew really about what was going on, and a section called The Bottom Line, which looks at each episode in the context of the whole series. The episode recaps are at once both sentimental and brutally honest. Where there are flaws in the creative process, Wheaton points them out with a kind of rabid glee. Where there are gems of creativity, he shows us where they are as well. It's the kind of look at Next Generation that could only have been done by someone who was part of the show and who loved it. He writes with clarity and honesty and, just to be sure, I point it out again, humor. Lots and lots of humor. It's a very quick read and it's very enjoyable. And for bonus points, go to the podcast. It's memoriesofthefuturecast.com, wherein Wheaton reads selections from the book. Honestly, it's hard to believe this, but it's true. The podcast is even funnier than reading the book, and it's a very good way to kill 15 or 20 minutes. And we podcasters, you know, we have to stick together, right, Will? Yeah? You and me, man, podcasting forever, right? Yeah. Yeah, I may be overestimating our camaraderie slightly. Anyway, if you're a Trek fan, this book will be a nice visit back to a better time. What's more, this will probably make you want to go watch the first season again, if only to see if some of those early episodes are nearly as bad as he'd making them out to be. I can't wait for Volume 2, so get writing, Wheaton. So, here's a quote from the book. He's talking about the episode Battle, where Captain Picard is going a little funny in the head, and, this happens. Wheaton says, "Riker looks at Troy and very seriously asks what's wrong with his captain." "Oh, cool. We're finally going to get to see Troy use her Betazoid abilities to tell us something more interesting than pain, pain. This will be the moment when Troy transitions from useless one-dimensional plot device into a real character. Oh, what is she going to say?" The camera dramatically pushes in on her as she looks at Riker and quietly says, "I wish I could say." So that's from the episode recap of Battle, from Memories of the Future, Volume 1. Again, I really think this is a fun read. I highly recommend you go get it. You can get it from lulu.com. And follow Will Wheaton around on the internet. He's a very, very interesting guy. He's got his blog, of course. Everybody has a blog. He's on Twitter. Everyone's on Twitter. And he's one of the few people on Twitter who's actually worth following, because he always creates very interesting and very funny stuff. I am not a person worth following on Twitter. As much as I tell you to do it, if you just follow me, then you're not going to use Twitter very much. Wheaton, however, he's constantly putting out good stuff, so follow him and enjoy that. And always remember his rule, Wheaton's Law, which is don't be a dick. It's hard to do, very, very hard to do, but we try. So with that, go get it, Memories of the Future, and, of course, the podcast, memoriesofthefuturecast.com. And that's about all I have to say about Wesley Crusher and Will Wheaton and Star Trek, at least for now. I haven't watched the shows in a very, very long time, but now I really, really want to. So if you're thinking of Christmas, there we go. I have a region-free DVD player. I'm just saying. So let's point towards next week's book. give you a clue for that. And the clue is we're going to stick to the future, and we're looking at the Grandmaster Robert Heinlein. I'm still, by the way, trudging my way through I Will Fear No Evil. And I keep writing the review in my head as I read it, going, there's no story here. There's no conflict here. What is he doing? But I'm going to finish the book for you so I can tell you you probably shouldn't read that book. Well, you should, but it's another review later. Anyway, we are talking about Heinlein, one of his better books. It's about time travel, both the fast kind and the slow kind, engineering and cats. So, if you can guess what next week's Robert Heinlein book is, then congratulations. And I will say your name, and dozens of people will hear it, and won't you be proud? I'm sure right now Millie is just having a little party up there in Albany going, he said my name! Right? Right? That's what you're doing? No, wait. She's going back to work. All right, I'm sorry. But you stay well, you stay happy, do what it is that you enjoy doing, and I will see you next week. The text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.